Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to the Dads Must Be Crazy. I am Craig, joined today by Bobby.
Howdy.
Howie is out of action. I have no idea what he's doing or who he's with or anything. He had a change of plans during the week, and I thought there was an outside chance that he could make it today. He texted me earlier that he was just not going to make it.
Yeah, I remember him saying he wasn't. I didn't make it last weekend because it was my 20-year anniversary, so yeah, that wasn't going to happen.
20 years.
20 years.
We were just talking about last night. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My wife says congratulations. And I say it too.
Thank you.
But it took her to remind me. We were just talking about that last night with us. We have been together. We'll be married 23 years in October. Yeah. 23 years this October. We bought this house 21 years ago.
That's awesome.
It's been a long time. We had to buy a new dehumidifier. In 21 years, this is our third dehumidifier, so I'm not complaining.
I'm fixing to be on my third. I got to buy a new one because mine's rated to go down to 40 degrees and still dehumidify, but it won't. It's not collecting water.
You've only lived in your house not even 4 years yet, have you?
That's right.
And it's working that hard? How's your filter?
Filter's fine. It's clean. Okay. There's no need to run it in the winter because there's the humidity in my basement's like 40 or below. So there's no need to run it then. During the summer, the humidity gets up to about 60%, so...
That's not terrible either, though.
No, but I try to keep it at about 50 because, you know, I have electronics down there, computers and stuff, so mm-hmm. Clean the filter out, make sure the lines are unplugged, scrub out the tank, you know, make sure the ballast is working, all that mess, and then plug it in, and as soon as I turn it on, I can hear the compressor kick in, and then it'll shut off, and the compressor never comes back on. And so it just never gathers any moisture. But it'll tell me that you're down 10% humidity. Okay, well, where's the water in the bucket? It's not there.
So, it's evaporated right back out.
Apparently. So I'm just...
We have stone wall basements, so we always have a little dampness.
Yeah.
So we are definitely running it year-round. But this one has automatic shutoff on it.
Mm.
That way it gets a rest.
I need to get one of those where it's high speed, you know, and it's like, oh... I'm done for like 2 hours and it takes a break.
Right. We did that. Well, we've had to empty it a couple times. We opened it up and put it in yesterday. Well, my wife did. I didn't do it. So we've already had to empty it a couple times, but our old one was not working very well. So the basement was pretty damp. But now I figure once we get through maybe 3 or 4 days of just sucking all the moisture out of the air, it'll be like that. It'll shut itself off. But for right now, because it's as wet as it is, because the old one wasn't working, it's going to take a couple days to get through that.
Yeah, speaking of wet, we went camping this weekend, and the weather forecast for where we were at, because we were down in the southern tier, we were down in Allegheny County, down by Angelica, right? We were camping, and it said 20% chance of rain for the 3 days you're going to be there. And we were like, okay, it started raining last night at 10:30.
Was it still raining when you left today?
It was raining when I woke up this morning at 5:30. Like, it rained the entire night.
Wow, 7 hours of rain. And you had to pack up in the rain then?
Technically, no. We still had, you know, water dripping from the trees, but the sky was clear and whatnot. So, I mean, it was a little muddy packing up this morning, and it was cold because it was like 50 degrees. So we were like, oh, you know, so everybody's wearing pants and hoodies. I went straight over to the stove. I looked at my buddy. He was like, ugh. And I was like, ugh.
That's how Wendy's dad talked all the time.
And so I filled up the percolator with coffee, and I got the stove going and made coffee, and then I had a sip, and then I became human. And then we were able to, we got packed up this morning and came back. I was just like, ah, weatherman, I know it's not an exact science, but you should die. You know, like, it was not cool.
Our nephew borrowed our tent. Our tent is old and was used when we got it, and he took the tent up to the Thousand Islands to camp, and it rained right through the tent, so it's time for a new one.
Yeah, we've got to...
I can read the newspaper through the wall, so...
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty thin.
Yeah, we got to spray the seals, or the seams, with sealant, because the seams on the rain shield are leaking. So Amanda actually got rained on last night. Like, rain came into the tent, onto her cot, onto her sleeping bag, so she was not happy. And then I had a little puddle of water on my end of the tent, because she's on one end, I'm on the other, and the three kids were in between us. And so, yeah, there's just water, like, in the tent. And so we got back today, and I was like, I don't want to recover anything, you know, at all. Like, I don't want to get anything clean. I don't want to do it. Let's just do it Tuesday. And she's like, no, we're doing it today.
It'll smell, man.
Exactly, I know. And so, you know, I'm glad she did it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I obviously helped out. We got the tent set up so it can dry, and the cots and the sleeping bags and all that, and the camping kitchen cleaned and all the dry goods put away. And we just got done about 6:30. So everything's dry, put back up in the basement. It's good to go. And I'm like, hey, now when I have Tuesday off, I really have Tuesday off. Like, I can actually write a paper for school on Tuesday now. Like, this is awesome.
I have a great story about camping. I don't like to camp that much. I have. Mm-hmm. I've done it. Well, I went to a music festival in 2015, September 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, somewhere in there. I know it was supposed to start on the 10th, but because of a tornado, we didn't start till the 11th. Well, we met up with some other people, and we all decided to have tents around in kind of like a circle. And then we had a center tent, which was just the top. So it was open sides, so we had a place to cook and and hang out and not be wet in case it was raining when it was time to eat. Mm-hmm. Well, I got the bright idea, not me, to put a tarp over the end of the tent over to my friend Alyssa's tent so that they were completely under the tent, underneath something all day and all night. And I was sleeping in the back of someone's truck. So I was perfectly dry. Well, it would downpour two nights that we were there. The first night, it rained so hard, and with that tarp going right into their tent, it poured right into the... She had 4 or 5 inches of rain in the tent because it all, like, funneled right into it. I didn't even hear it. I get up the next morning, and they're wringing stuff out. They've been up all night trying to save things. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, we got wet. Like, everybody who slept in the tent was wet, but they were soaked. I was like, I didn't even hear it rain.
Yeah, like we all, we have cots, so we're definitely off the ground. So, you know, even if there is 4 or 5 inches of water that get in the tent, it's not going to get on us.
It may get on you as it passes
from the top,
roof,
yeah,
to the floor.
Yeah, and we haven't even had any problems from the very center, you know, top of the tent. Yeah, it's always been on the very, on what I like to call the end caps down there on the end, so... But yeah, I mean, it was a great time overall. There was like 7 dogs that were there with us. So, I mean, there were just dogs everywhere. But they were with our group. So, I got there and I cracked one of my, you know, non-alcoholic adult beverages. And I'm drinking one. I'm setting up the tent. Dog runs by, trashes my beverage. Crap. And then, it's close to dinner. So, you know, we're making dinner. I've got a new non-alcoholic adult beverage sitting there. Dog runs by, trashes that one. And I'm mad at
this
point.
The universe is telling you something.
It is.
Drink real beer.
Well. And then it's smoking cigar time. So it's me and a few of the guys, and we're around a campfire. It's about 10:30 at night. You know, everybody else has pretty much gone to bed, and we're just going to set up and shoot the business and have a cigar, right? And I'm like, you know, dogs have run over my drinks all day. There's nobody sitting in this chair next to me. And I was telling my buddy Dunn, I'm like, you know, so I'm going to put my beer right here in this cup holder that way because the dog's been running my stuff over. And as soon as I turned away from it, one of the dogs come hauling butt right through there and went and took the chair out with my beer. And I was like,
You got to give up at that point.
I did. I was like, I give up. I'm drinking water.
Like, well, you kind of were anyway.
I'm like, I give up. So... But the cigars were great. You know, I got to, I did what I wanted to, which was have the campfire and smoke a cigar every night, which is great. Cause I don't smoke cigars very often. And that's the only thing I smoke anymore. Cause I quit smoking almost a year ago. So actually it'd be a year ago next month. Yeah. Cigars are nice.
So now my question is about camping under new rules of Sar Cuomo. How is camping?
We just pretended he didn't exist.
Okay.
And so we just went camping.
Just like the rest of us do.
Pretty much.
Just ignore him.
That's what we did.
What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to have your tents far apart from each other? And
oh,
stuff
our
like
tents
that?
Were far apart from each other. But, I mean, there's no way you can... I mean, you can social distance. I mean, but let's be honest. Are you?
No.
You're in the middle of the woods, in the middle of the country. Like, let's think about who supports who in that part of the... In that neck of the woods. Just right. Just kind of saying. So.
I had to go to the Walmart today.
The Walmart.
I tried to go yesterday. And I pulled into the parking lot, and it's full all the way out. I always park all the way out by Wendy's, but it was full all the way out there.
Good Lord.
It was crazy. There was a line waiting to get in yesterday when I tried. So I went back today because I know that we're not big Pete Davidson fans, but The King of Staten Island came out last week, and I want to see that movie. Two of my daughters do, and it seems like it's kind of a family-ish type of movie where he's mm-hmm. getting over the death of his father and his mother moves on. So it's an interesting story. It's been sold out. So we go back today to try to get that. Plus, Wendy had a couple other things she needed me to get. Same thing. I found a parking spot this time because yesterday I turned around and said, I'm not even going to wait in the line and left. Well, I went to the Walmart today. It was kind of the same way, but there was no line. There were a couple extra parking spots, and they let me in without any problem. But there are people wearing a mask on your chin to protect your goatee. Makes no sense to me.
I can't get the COVID in my goatee. Just saying. That drives me nuts, too. Like, look, you know, I don't like wearing the mask just as much as the next guy.
I can't stand it, but I do where I have to.
But I do it. You know, and you know why? Because all these businesses are like, look, you'll wear a mask or you don't come in my establishment. Well, guess what? I need a service or good that right. your establishment is either providing or I'm buying.
Right.
So I'm going to wear my mask. I'm going to get in and out as quickly as possible. And then as soon as I get out and there's nobody around me,
right.
mask comes off.
Exactly.
And then I go about my day.
And it's not infringing upon your rights because it's a private business.
It is a private business.
They have rules.
They can tell me to go pound sand.
They already tell you, you got to wear shoes and you have to wear shirts. So they don't say anything about pants, though. You ever notice that? It says no shirt, no shoes, no service. What about no pants?
I think if you're wearing a pair of whitey tighties, a t-shirt, and some flip-flops, you probably fit right in at Walmart. Let's just be honest. Yeah, I mean, that would be hilarious. I mean, I have seen some funky stuff go on in a Walmart before.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, camping was great. We didn't social distance. I don't care. We didn't social distance. I mean, it's not a thing. I mean, these are all people that work for the government, you know, so we're tested on a regular basis. At least, you know, get our temperature taken in, you know, get the standard questions asked. And these are people I've known for...
I have the same thing happen with work. We got to get our temperatures taken every day before we go in. And if I have to walk over to the courthouse, then they retake my temperature and ask me a series of questions. And I always say, I solemnly swear I'm up to no good, which sometimes amuses the court officers, but mostly not. But it is Labor Day weekend, which is the unofficial end of summer. Kids will be back to school this week, and summer is going to be behind us. And this summer has been a summer like no other in my lifetime, in many people's lifetimes.
Yeah.
I had big plans for the summer.
I know. We had talked about it on our other podcast. Right. And
my plan was, because we lost George last year, and George was my closest friend, and I had lost a couple other classmates later in the year, I wanted to make 2020 the year that I hung out with friends. And I told my wife to don't buy me Christmas presents. I just want to spend time with my friends. That's what I want. So we got some yard games and stuff. But then until a month ago, you couldn't really hang out with anybody. And even now, it's, you know, you don't want to, well, you do, but really, do you really want to hang out with people a foot away all the time? Especially in my job and in your job where you're dealing with people day in and day out. And so you're more exposed and stuff. Now, yeah. I am not afraid of the virus. Let's put that out there. I'm not afraid of it. I'm afraid of its potential, but I'm not afraid of it, if that makes any sense.
You know, I got that. I consider myself a pretty healthy individual. I don't want to get the flu,
right.
You know, so I get my flu vaccine.
I do not.
You know,
I was told I needed to, but I don't.
You probably should. like, I don't want to get the Rona because of what it can do to people, you know. But anyway, that's another statement for like off the podcast, because I don't want to go, you know, a particular way with it or not. But yeah, I'm not afraid of it either. I'm more afraid of what it can actually do, and I'm afraid for my kids,
right?
More than anything,
I'm afraid for my kids. For my kids, mostly this summer, because I think 6 straight months of being stuck at home with each other, they may love each other, but darn it, they definitely want to kill each other.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've been waiting for a few, you know, like my kids are like hiding behind corners now waiting for the other one, you know, so they can like karate chop them and stuff. I mean, it's getting brutal. Like the hockey sticks have had to be put up. The Eskrimas have been put up. You know, it's like, hey, let's get him a baseball bat. No. Exactly. Like, we're not doing that. I'm like, uh-uh. Like, he's going to hurt one of his sisters. They've been cooped up, and they need to go back to school.
We have some yard games that we've gotten. I got cornhole and the ladder game.
Cornhole and ladders.
And then I got this Mulky, whatever the heck that is. You have, it's a wooden dowel, but it's probably about a 2.5-inch diameter wooden dowel. It's about 6 inches long. Then there are numbered pegs that you put in a specific order, and you have to toss your wooden dowel at these other wooden pieces, and the ones that are getting knocked over, that's how you score points. You get up to 50 points. If you go over, you go back to 25. It's actually a pretty cool game.
We played bocce ball at the campsite
today. We have one of those someplace. We have a set in the garage someplace.
I've only played it like twice, but I didn't realize how much fun it was. I had a blast playing bocce ball.
It's even more fun if you're an old Italian guy.
Well, considering that that's generally who played it for a long time,
right,
before it became broad, you know, yep, because the little white ball is called a pallino, or which is Italian for bullet. So the bullet ball.
We have bocce courts at Outwater Park, and they have always been very popular out there.
I like it. I mean, we didn't get to play cornhole because each of us all thought that the other one was bringing cornhole boards. It was
and
one of the...
nobody brought any.
Nobody brought them. You know, I was like, oh, Mikey's going to bring his. And then Mikey was like, I couldn't fit them in my SUV. And then Eric didn't bring his. Don didn't bring his.
Bobby didn't bring his.
I didn't bring mine. You know, and it was just like, ugh. But I mean, everybody has, you know, we all have like cornhole and ladders and bocce ball and washers and stuff like that, because, you know, we like to get together a few times a year, and we'll usually do it at someone's house, and it's like, well, we all kind of have the same yard games because we all like to play the same yard games.
What about lawn darts?
You know, I wish I could find a pair of those.
I actually know where there's a metal tipped pair right now, and if no one's looking, I may steal them someday. Though I'm getting the look from my wife because she knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, goodness. I can't believe that they played that game. Like,
I had a set of them. My cousins and I had a set of them, and my cousins were brutal. So, I mean, we're lucky we didn't have any sticking out of our head. I mean, we'd throw them up in the air as high as we could and then run.
Yeah, and dodge them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember doing that when I was a kid, you know, in the, like, 1989, the early 90s, doing stuff like that. Let's see how high we can do this, you know. Woo! Oh, crap, run! You gotta go. You know, otherwise, you know, you get a dart on top of the head, so...
Does anyone still play horseshoes?
We actually were mad that the campground, they had horseshoe pits, but they didn't have horseshoes.
And here's the thing, when you go in to buy horseshoes now, they're all plastic. Like, there is nothing like hearing that metal-on-metal ring when you're throwing horseshoes.
Go to the big mega outdoor store here in town, the new one.
Right.
And see if they have metal horseshoes there.
And then the other game, which I always loved, my grandmother introduced me to it, and she had a huge side yard, so we did it in the side yard, croquet. Does anyone play that anymore?
Yeah.
I love that game.
It's a fun little game, you know, because I can sip tea and get my pinky finger in the air, and then I can step on one ball and smack the other and go, ha, 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 cheerio. You know.
It's like poor man polo.
It is. It's another one that's a lot of fun, but it can be dangerous. No, croquet.
Okay.
Because if you make someone mad, they got this big old hammer.
Yeah.
Running. Oh, my God. Yeah, we had a lot of fun with yard games. I love them.
I think that next year, during the summer, if we're allowed to talk to other people, it all depends on what King Andy says, I guess, that we invade Howie's front yard. He's got a huge front yard, so we can set up bocce and croquet and horseshoes and cornhole and wash. We can set up the whole thing in his front yard. And then when he comes outside and go, what are you guys doing? Or when his wife calls the police on us.
You know what we should do is you and your family load up. Me and my family will load up. Skip and his family, Rich and his family load up. And we just convoy over and we just park in his driveway.
Right.
Everybody gets out and you just, like you said, you just start setting up yard games. You know, you start breaking out coolers.
Exactly.
Cracking beers.
Hey, Howie, do you have a extension cord that we could borrow? Why? We're making boat drinks.
Oh, Lord.
I'm pretty sure his wife would throw a fit. And if we get too hot, we can just jump in the canal. It's in his backyard.
I don't know if I want to jump in that water.
Yeah, I'm not sure I would either.
I don't want to grow a third eye. Not at all.
But it would be pretty funny, I think. We'll bring a small kiddie pool and ask him for a hose.
Just set in it.
Yeah.
Get a bag of play sand and like drop beside it so it looks like the beach.
Right.
Little fake plastic palm tree.
We could do that. My parents have one of those.
Oh, man. It's too bad summer's over, practically.
You can make plans for next year, though.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love fall and I love winter. I absolutely love both of those seasons.
Okay. But that makes one of us at the table.
Yeah. But I am sad that summer is over. You know, the leaves are starting to change. There's definitely a nip in the air in the evenings
now. There definitely was yesterday all day here.
A nip?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely tell. Like, the skunks, they normally don't start showing up until the very end of September, the first week of October. They already sprayed my neighbor's dogs in the very last week of August. Like, the skunks are in my neighborhood a month early, you know, and with the leaves changing, the nip in the air, we're doing the roller coaster with the temperatures a little earlier than normal. I just think fall's coming a little sooner than...
I think it's going to be a long fall, though.
Well, the Farmer's Almanac...
Says mild winter.
The old Farmer's Almanac, the new one says we're going to get crushed. It's like, old man winter's going to take a dump in your front lawn. So,
but we're in that magical triangle of no snow here, for the most part.
Yeah, we're supposed to get a blizzard out of Canada.
Oh, that would be bad, because then we would get that.
In February, and then we're supposed to get like another major storm in March. So the new Farmer's Almanac... who's been getting it right, says we're going to have colder, snowier, and longer winter. The other one says milder, above average temperatures, below average snowfall, and like winter's just going to be meh.
I would be fine with 70 to 75, 360 days a year. The 5 days around Christmas, it can snow, and then go back to the 70, 75.
You just want to snow for the white Christmas.
It makes the Christmas lights look really cool.
It does. But, I mean, though, you know, I am sad, though. You know, we didn't get to do a lot of things we wanted to. We wanted to do some traveling this summer and, you know, maybe go see some stuff. Because we're up here in New England and, you know, I'd like to go see the lighthouses in Maine. You know,
I want to buy a lighthouse for a summer home.
Man.
It would be a cool, what do you call it? I think it would be cool. You wouldn't need it the whole summer, so you can have friends go use it.
What am I going to do in a lighthouse?
Keep an eye on things.
I don't want to stare at the ocean all day. I mean, it's awesome.
The ocean waves will lull you to sleep.
Yeah, about that. The ocean is like one of the great natural things that scare me. Like, I respect its power, and I'm just like, I'm not playing in that at all.
But we should be at home in it, because we are ugly bags, mostly water.
We are. However, if this ugly bag of water doesn't get enough oxygen because I'm submerged underwater, then I'm dead. So, right. No, like I've always respected the ocean's power, and it's not my favorite. I'd like to look at it. I just don't like to be in it.
Now, here's something that I find interesting because I grew up on the Great Lakes, and we have Lake Ontario and Lake Erie right here. Lake Ontario is the more popular lake where we live.
Mm-hmm.
My cousins who live in Georgia said, well, I want to take my kids to see the lake when we're in town. They were in town for a funeral. So I took them out to Lake Ontario, and their kids are like, this isn't a lake. You can't see the shores. Like, lakes where they come from, you can see shore to shore to shore.
Some lakes you can. It really depends. Like, we have some really big ones down in the south, like Toledo Bend.
Well, Texas has everything bigger.
Well, it's a man-made lake, but they dammed up some a valley, and it filled in with water, and then they stocked it, and it's this whole big thing, and you can't see from one end of the lake to the other. Like, it's not as big as the Great Lake.
Can you see across?
It's skinny across, so I mean, depending on where you're at, then yeah. So, you know, you got some coves and stuff nestled in, and it's probably a quarter mile, you know, in some portions where you're like, oh, I can see the guy on the other side of the lake, you know. So it's not bad. A lot of good fishing, though. So,
yeah, but Lake Ontario is a pretty big lake when you...
You know, and I used to, when I was a kid, I was like, they should just call them seas. Look how big they are on the map. And then I was like, wait, it would need to have salt water.
Right.
And it's fresh water, therefore it's a lake. All the salt went down to the bottom, and now they mine salt underneath the lake. So, yeah, it's a lake now. But then it's like, we've got the Great Salt Lake. And I'm like, why don't they just call it a sea? And I'm like, oh, well, they said Salt Lake in the name, so apparently it's a lake. I'm just like, I don't get it.
One of the places I'd like to see is the Salt Lake.
I've actually been there.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's, you float.
Yeah, you can't sink, really.
No, I mean, you really have to try and drown in that lake.
It seemed like at the Dead Sea.
Yeah, like I was playing golf in Salt Lake City, and teeing off on the first hole, you overlook the Great Salt Lake.
Does it smell briny?
There are brine shrimp in it.
Okay.
And yeah, it smells a little briny. You know, you definitely smell the salt. It's really, really salty.
So did you guys have, well, I think I know the answer to this. You guys had a vacation planned that was ultimately postponed. We did. We were talking about going to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, we were supposed to do that together. And then coronavirus hit, and everybody's like, no, you can't go anywhere, and you got to wear a mask, and all these other rules, and everything shut down. And yeah, we just didn't get to go.
I hope, and we're going to talk a little bit about school here, just because we help set the stage. I hope they were able to do that vacation next year, because the following year, there will be no vacation. It'll be preparing the twins for college.
Yeah, and that's going to include you, what, driving them to campuses to look at? And, I mean, are we talking like out-of-state colleges or?
Who knows?
Okay.
So next summer, we're hoping to have a vacation, but part of that vacation time is going to be looking at colleges because they'll be starting their senior year.
Okay.
So they're starting their junior year Tuesday. So next summer, they'll be getting ready to look at colleges.
So what happens if one wants to go to college on the East Coast and one wants to go to college on the West Coast? Are you going to split it and do it? Because that's going to be a little rough.
I hope that they stay within, and my boss didn't like this idea, you know, stay, you know, be a homebody. I don't care. I like them to be within driving distance of each other. They're twins. So I understand that they want to be apart, but they're far closer than they'll ever let on. So I think moral support-wise, they need to be reasonably close. The fact that I cannot stand driving, they need to be reasonably close.
Like in the same county.
No, they don't have to be in the same county.
Yeah, that's the thing with my oldest is I'm like, look, for the first 2 years of school, you're going brick and mortar. You're not doing online school. You will get the experience. You will do brick and mortar at the associate's level. You know, and then when you go into the bachelor, finish up your undergrad degree, you can do online school if that's what you choose. But you will at least do the first 2 years in, you know, brick and mortar. And that's generally always been the plan.
I think, and this is my personal opinion, every student, there are exceptions because there are students who are pretty much so geniuses and ready to make that next step. There's so much pressure on these kids. They have to go to college or they have to do this. I think a 2-year junior college should be pretty almost mandatory. And if you're not doing that, join the military.
Or trade school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Trade school is always like, number one in my book.
Become a skilled laborer.
Right,
I mean, plumber, electrician, carpenter, something.
And I know it's not about the money, but the money.
You make a ton of money.
You have to be somewhat interested in it, too.
You do, and that's the thing, you know, as our culture and society changes, interests often shift away from that. Back in the day, we had an abundance of that because we didn't have the technology. You didn't sit around on Facebook. We didn't have video games. You didn't have, you know, IT support. You didn't have that. So you either fixed cars or you built stuff or you fixed plumbing or you were a roofer.
That, I think, is, and they may have changed, and if anyone's listening can correct me on this, a lot of the schools have taken the traditional shop classes and taken them away and done more with visual arts or public speaking or something like, they have a television station at Lockport. They have a radio station at Lockport, and they're doing that stuff. They're doing media presentations, but they're take, but the, those are their new shop classes.
Yeah.
But learning how to saw a board, learning how to screw in screws and hammer nails or changing a light outlet, that should be part of.
You know, and I agree with you 100%. And I think what happened is they're like, yeah, we need to get away from this because we have an abundance of these guys already. So let's get the guys that can be on the professional side and the artsy and side and all this other stuff. And the
which
tech
are important
side,
also.
Which are important also. But they forgot one key concept. Like, you can't have all the tech stuff without the guy who builds the building and does the plumbing and the wiring and everything else.
There needs to be balance in the force.
And there is not. Who's going to bring balance to the force with that?
Me. Vote for me. As I run for governor against Andrew Cuomo.
But
I say that partially joking.
Partially. Allegedly. But no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've got my concerns about them going back to school. But, you know, I mean, I'm excited for them. They're ready to get back to school.
They are definitely excited to get back to school.
They're nervous as hell.
When they were, I was talking about the Williamsville debacle the other night. They came in halfway through the conversation and thought that school was being delayed at their school, and two of them burst into tears.
Yeah. If Madison realizes that she's not going back to school, like, she's ready to burn the house down. Like, that's, she's just like, nope, I'm done. She's like, can't do it no more. I'm out.
My thing is, I got to learn something new about my kids over the pandemic and when we're doing the distance learning before. It was a wonderful thing. I have been so far out of my comfort zone with daily life since March 15th. I cannot wait till Tuesday when I have a full day to myself just to completely unwind. So I absolutely cannot wait. And it's not to say that I can't stand being around my kids, because that's not it. But sometimes you just need to take a breather. Everybody's going back to school. My wife's a teacher, so she's been home every day since March 15th. The kids have been home every day since March 15th. Now, typically, I would get Mondays and Tuesdays, at least partially, to myself to get stuff done. I've gotten nothing done. I've accomplished next to nothing, partly because of the change in my routine. And I hate to admit that I have a routine, but I'm very into the routines. And the other part is, it was boring. You couldn't do anything. It was so boring that I was too bored to read. And you know me. I pretty much still carry a book with me all the time.
Yeah.
April and May were my lowest book totals in years for a month. I think I read 6 books in April and maybe 7 in May. I typically read 10 to 15 a month.
Goodness, that's a lot of books.
I love to read. But I was too bored to read. And then, yeah, I'd start a project and I get bored with that. And I just think that the mental cost of this isolation and this sequester and stuff, I'm not calling it a quarantine. Quarantine's for sick people. It's far more than we know right now. The impact of this is far greater on our mental state.
And that's where the most damage is going to come from at the end of the day, is going to be the mental aspect. So that's partly why I'm allowing my kids to go back to school. I mean, one, I think they need it. And two, they want to go back to school. And three, they need to continue to develop those social skills, because without being around their peers, they don't develop those social skills. And it's very, very important, because we don't need a generation of drones running the country in 20 years from now, you know, that don't have social skills, you know.
They barely have social skills now.
It's because they're still continuing to develop them.
And they, telephones and computers, it's not, they have their place.
They do.
And they do have pros, and they definitely have cons.
The cons is it takes away the
human
personal
interaction.
Yeah, it takes away that personal connection.
Yep.
It's, I can text somebody and we can say something in words, but without voice inflection and tone and pitch and facial expressions and body language to go with it, like, the whole message is not being communicated. And I think that's what gets lost, is not necessarily, is like the real deep meaning of like something, you know, like telling somebody I love you via text versus telling it to them, looking them in their eyes, your body language, your facial expression, the tone and pitch in your voice conveys that you truly do. Saying it in a text message, I mean, it's just like, I love you with a heart emoji. Okay, big deal at the end of the day.
Right.
You need that personal touch. So.
And you got to finish out your summer with something you love to do, camping.
Absolutely. Got rained on.
It's part of camping, though.
It is. We finally got everything cleaned up and dried, put away today, so yay.
And I've been playing some games in the yard with the kids. I'm just waiting for a nice day on a weekend where I can call you guys over and cook some burgers and play a couple games, just kind of hang out. I still need to do that because, you know, that's me. I'm a social butterfly, so this butterfly's wings have been clipped for 6 months.
I'm a peacock. You got to let me spread my feathers.
On the plus side, I get to start bowling on Wednesday.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep, so I'm good to go.
Yeah, they keep sending me, like, the school district, right? Because I was a substitute teacher. Like, I haven't been able to get my badge turned in yet so they can remove me from the mailing list. But I keep getting all these emails. Hey, you've got all this training you've got to do. You've got to get this online certification so you can sub via online. And I'm like, no. Like, no, dude, I don't want any part of that at all.
1 year was enough for me. You're not like Howie, who's all in and changing his entire career path.
Well, I think I found my niche, which is working with special needs youth. And so that's why I'm back in school for my master's. And my master's is actually tailored for that, along with my bachelor's in psychology. So, because I was like, I want to use the degree, but I couldn't fathom sitting down and talking to people for 8 hours a day. Like, I have to get up. I have to do something. I have to move around. You know, sitting and listening to people's problems is always interesting, but I'm sedentary and I just can't come to terms with that. I'm like, nope, it's not me. So working with these kids that I work with, I'm out back playing basketball. I'm taking them to the park and walking with them. We're going to marinas and going for walks. We get to take them shopping. We get to go all over the place with them, state parks, everything. And that's I'm cool. Like, dude, like my office one day could be, you know, Old Fort Niagara. And then the next day it could be, you know, Royalton Ravine Park. That's my office. You know, and then the next day it could actually really be the office in the house that I work at. So I get this great rotation and I want to run a program on my own one of these days, but I need a master's degree to do it. And that's why I'm back in school. And so I was enjoying being a substitute teacher. Don't get me wrong. I really was. And I got to do it for 2 months and then COVID hit. And then it was like, nope, you're not an essential employee. So I was like, well, that stinks. And then, you know, the governor was like, get a job as an essential employee. Bet. I did. And so if he shuts everything down, I still get to go to work.
You know how what I'm going to do with my time? It's going to be essential that I get to actually watch television. I have not watched any TV in 6 months, really, because the kids have... We have one TV in the house.
Yeah.
And the kids have pretty much all taken it over. And most of the time, I don't really care.
Yeah.
So it's not really that big of a deal. I think I might take an hour on Tuesday and watch just something goofy and then probably turn it off again.
You must watch Cobra Kai.
I'm not... You guys and Howie, man. Howie's all over it. I have another chat with he and another guy, and he's like, have you watched it? Have you watched it? I'm like, no.
I mean, if you're not into that, then you're not into that. Right. I mean, I got it. But for me, like, I'm still a huge fan of the Karate Kid movies.
Unless Pat Morita is in it, I don't want to see it.
That's just mean. I mean, he is all over the series. He's not in it.
I can't stand Ralph Macchio either, so that's part of it.
But you know, you're kind of rooting for the other guy in this one.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the other guy a little bit better. He's a doppelganger from my cousin Charlie. At least he was back in the Karate Kid days.
Yeah, I'm kind of rooting for him.
Really?
In this one, yeah.
I might have to check it out a little bit. They're not long episodes, though, right?
No, they're like, I think the longest one is like 34 minutes.
I've been watching, or tried to watch, there's one called Blood and Treasure. It was on CBS, and it's about history and these what-if mysteries. It's kind of cool. I watched the first episode, which was 2 hours long because it's a double episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty interesting. They were looking for Anthony and Cleopatra's tomb, and there were curses and Nazis and stuff. It's like Indiana Jones meets The Librarian.
And lions and tigers and bears.
Oh, my.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty cool.
Yep, it's on Prime.
Okay. Yeah, we don't watch TV until we literally get in bed, and that's usually around, we try to get in bed around 9:30. You just turn on the TV, watch an episode or two or something, and then that's a wrap. TV's off.
Right.
So we don't watch, like, a lot of TV. We're just not a TV-watching family.
Not like Howie is. Holy cow.
Everybody's like, have you seen this series? Have you seen this series? I'm like, dude, that's 15 seasons long. They're like, yeah, you got to watch it all. And I'm like, dude, it would take me, the way I watch TV, it would take me 20 years. You know, and there's only 15 seasons. I mean.
Well, Howie's been giving us a running commentary on The 100. And it's almost over now, I think.
Well, they're waiting for the last three episodes. And then I'm waiting for it to hit, what is it, Netflix?
I'm just going to go and buy the box set when it comes out and watch from start to end. I'm going to rewatch the whole thing.
I don't want to do that.
They're not that long of a season, though, so that helps.
Yeah, they're about 16 episodes. Yeah. It's not terrible. But they are going to end the series at 100, which I thought was pretty cool.
And they have a prequel series in the works that's going to happen. It's 100% going to happen.
That's going to be awesome.
And two more Star Trek series.
Another two?
So we're talking, right now we have Discovery.
And Lower Decks.
And Lower Decks, Picard.
Yep.
And then there's going to be...
Is it a Captain Worf one?
It's Pike. So it's his own series.
I knew Pike was getting his own series.
And there's an unnamed one that they haven't released any details on, but certain actors who used to play Worf... have hinted on Twitter, stay tuned. So,
yeah, he's been trying to get a series for like over a decade now.
Right.
Now, the Captain Pike, that's the Kelvin timeline, right?
Captain Pike is the captain before
Kirk
in the original series. In fact, we saw him in The Cage, which was the original pilot. And then he was in another one, Talos 4. Talos 4 episode.
Okay.
Yeah, he was Spock's first commander.
Yeah, because...
But so it's still part of the TOS timeline.
Okay, so it's part of the original series timeline, but he's also in the Kelvin timeline.
He is. He's Bruce Greenwood in the Kelvin timeline.
Yeah, I was going to say. So it's still the Kelvin timeline, because at that point, with that one, you've got... Yeah, because he was Kirk's mentor in that one.
I'm trying to figure out, because I've been reading the fan boards, somehow the Discovery Season 3 is going to tie into both the Kelvin timeline and the original series timeline, and I have no idea how the hell they're going to do
that.
Well,
it looks like they time traveled at the end of...
It does. It does, yeah.
And so, sorry if I spoil that for anybody.
October 12th.
Is that when it's coming out?
Yeah, October 12th or 15th, but it's in the teens there.
Ooh, Mandalorian Season 2, October 30th?
Okay. We'll see if Baby Yoda finally becomes Big Yoda.
It's going to be Adolescent Yoda. Teenage Yoda.
It means he's going to be miserable all the time.
Exactly.
Talk back to Mando. And
he's going to wear lots of mascara around his eyes.
He's going to be learning how to drive the spaceship.
Is he going to have his flyer's permit? Oh, for the love of Pete. Yeah, so, I mean, if it's science fiction, I'm generally all over it. So, yeah, I'm waiting on the 100. Obviously, I'm waiting on The Expanse Season 5 to come out.
I have wanted to watch that one, but again, I haven't had a summer availability to the television, so I missed out on that.
If you're going to start a new one, start that one.
Have you watched Battlestar Galactica, the 2004 reboot?
Yes.
Okay. The Peacock, which is Channel NBC's, they're doing a yet another reboot, and Ronald Moore is part of it.
Really?
Yes. So I'm kind of excited about that.
See, I don't subscribe to the Peacock. It's getting
me
to the
neither.
Point where everybody's like, oh, you got to subscribe to me. You got to subscribe to me. Everybody's just going to quit watching TV sooner or later.
You just... I'm not condoning this, but you just got to find a friend who is a subscriber.
Oh, for good Lord. Like, I've got Prime and Hulu and Netflix.
I have Prime, Netflix, and part of my Prime has CBS All Access.
And I do have CBS All Access, mostly for the Star Trek stuff, because that's where Star Trek, I believe, has always resided, was on CBS, right?
For the most part, it was in syndication for The Next Generation, so anybody could have picked it up.
Well, yeah, because UPN 21 did that, but it was all like, at least in Texas,
I think
UPN.
It was CBS Studios that did it.
But, yeah.
Or Paramount, which CBS Paramount is all.
Yep. And it was, UPN was bought by, it was Universal Paramount Network.
The thing was, The Next Generation was built to be in syndication. It's the first show that was built to be syndicated like that, so...
Yeah, like I'm just started a rewatch of The Next Generation. I just finished episode one, Encounter at Farpoint.
I'm in season three. Again, I have not had the television, so I have not been able to watch it. But I have them all on Blu-ray with all the extra special features and stuff, and I got to watch all the special features. And
well, Netflix has them. Netflix has The Next Generation in HD.
Okay.
All of them. And then Deep Space Nine, I wish they would just put it in HD instead of 480.
Well, because it's not Blu-ray ready, and they say there's not enough interest to do it. But I'm going to say right now, dear CBS, dear Paramount, please make Deep Space Nine Blu-ray.
Just give me 720. Like, I don't care about 1080. Just at least give me 720.
And I don't know, is Voyager?
Voyager, I think, is 480 as well.
Okay.
If I can get that, it might be 720. But give me a step up.
If they can make 1967 Star Trek on Blu-ray, they can make Deep Space Nine on Blu-ray.
Deep Space Nine is a great Star Trek series. One of my all-time favorite characters is in Deep Space Nine, and that's Garak.
Oh, yes.
I love Garak.
Odo? My wife likes Odo.
Odo was a good character. I liked Odo. I liked the guy that played him, René Auberjonois, I guess is how you say it. René Aber-something French. He did pass, unfortunately.
Right.
He's a great actor. I liked him in Boston Legal. Liked him as Odo. Because Odo always presented a mystery. Like, where did he come from? Was he ever going to make it back to his... Was he going to go back to his people, you know, as a shapeshifter? Because he was like that, I don't know, the black sheep of the family. Like, we're all doing this. We want to take over the Alpha Quadrant, you know? And he's like, no, I stand with the Alpha Quadrant, you know? And it's like, ah! You know, but Deep Space Nine also...
What about Quark?
I love Quark.
I love the episode Little Green Men when they go back.
Yes.
Oh, one of my favorite episodes.
Or did you see the Magnificent Ferengi is one of my favorite ones too, where the Jem'Hadar or the Dominion actually has Quark's mother, and so he puts together an elite team of Ferengi, and they're all goofballs, including one of them that's an assassin, and they're trying to trade a Vorta for his mom. And the Vorta dies, and so they like put nanites in his body and like remote control him. So it was like a remote controlled Vorta. To get their mom back is absolutely hilarious.
There was another one where they went back in time and they put the people from Deep Space Nine into an original series episode. And
Trials and Tribulations.
And they're in the bar and there are a bunch of original old school Klingons.
Yep.
And Dr. Bashir goes, those are Klingons. And Worf goes, we don't talk about those days.
Yeah. And I was like, what? Oh, and that was just because of like how drastic they made the species
right.
change.
Yes.
And it was like, okay. But that was Trials and Tribulations was, I believe, the name of that episode. So, I'm a gigantic Trek nerd. So
did you like Enterprise?
Haven't watched it. Couldn't get past the intro music. Was like, nope.
Well, you get past the intro music. It's not that bad.
Yeah, maybe I'll go back and give it a watch.
T'Pol is worth it all.
Jolene Blaylock's character,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
I might give it a watch.
And the guy from Texas, Trip, he's pretty awesome,
Trip.
Too. He was on Stargate. Did you watch Stargate?
Mm-mm.
No?
Oh. There were too many of them. Farscape, fantastic.
Haven't watched that one. Babylon 5.
Haven't watched it yet.
Me neither.
But Farscape, oh my God, it was only 4 seasons.
Okay.
All the puppets in it are done by the Jim Henson company. It's really fantastic. So it's like Brian Browder from like Stargate and then Claudia Black from Stargate.
I like her. She's pretty awesome.
She's awesome in that series. Like, they're just awesome in that series.
They make reference to that in Stargate.
Oh, that's off. Dude, you know we just pulled a Howie, right?
Yes.
We just went straight into like pop culture and nerddom. So.
Right. And you know what? We got out-nerded, or I got out-nerded by Skip. Because he went and watched Firefly, and I haven't watched it yet.
Really?
I've watched most of the first episode, and I know it has Nathan Fillion in it, but I'm just like, I hope it gets better.
It does. It gets better, and then you watch the movie Serenity, and it's supposed to wrap everything up. Like, it still leaves some stuff out there.
It's only one season, right?
It's only one season.
If everyone loves it so much, why did it last only one season?
Because they canceled it for some
reason. Was that Joss Whedon?
It was Joss Whedon.
He did my other favorite show.
What's that?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Never seen it.
Oh, my God. I was in love with Sarah Michelle Gellar. And
everybody
then I was in love
was.
With Cordelia, who was, oh, I can't remember who it was, Charisma Carpenter.
Mm.
I loved her. And Allison Hannigan was in it also.
Everybody loved Allison Hannigan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of the whole Bandcamp thing.
Right. This was before the Bandcamp thing.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I was a big Sarah Michelle Gellar fan because I saw her for the first time on All My Children when she played Erica Kane's daughter.
Oh my God, she did, didn't she?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, we definitely pulled a Howie tonight.
Holy cow. Oh yeah, we've Howied ourselves.
And you wanted to be home by now.
I did.
All right. You know what? We'll wrap it up then, because I think there's stuff we got to watch now.
There is stuff we have to watch. Hey, summer's over. Poo.
Yeah, unfortunately. I think we have a couple warm days this week, and then I think we're going to start seeing it get cooler.
It looks like on Friday, I think the highs in the 60s and the lows in the 50s.
That means pants.
Yeah,
that
means pants.
That I'll be allowed back in the stores.
Well, you could always go to Walmart in your whitey tighties.
Right. All right, for peanut gallery saying I cannot.
Well, there you go.
So for Bobby, I am Craig. Thank you for listening to the Dads Must Be Crazy. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.